Morning, everybody. The reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Emma and Eunice and Sue and Aaron, for taking part this morning. I am a planner. I like to plan things, but I'm an introvert, so I plan things in my head. And we as people like certainty, don't we? We like to know what's happening. And so for me as an introvert, in my head, I've worked out loads of different options of what the possible outcomes might be to any given situation. Maybe one of the best examples that I could give you of this was that when I worked at Youth for Christ, when I went on worked on the national team, I spent a lot of time traveling. And when I first started there, I used to kind of arrange my own train tickets for wherever I might go. And I learned a few tricks on how you can get slightly cheaper train tickets, on where you can change in different places. And I would be able to work out different routes. So I knew that I would be able to change in a certain place, whatever it might be, and I could get there quicker than if I just put into the train line, get me from, let's say, Lime Street to Euston. It would give me a certain time and a certain train. I worked out there were quicker ways of doing it. But then one day when my role changed, I was blessed to have someone on the team who dealt with all that stuff for me. And so just in my Outlook calendar would appear, you need to be in a meeting at this time and you need to get on a train here. And here's the booking reference for you to pick your tickets up in the morning when you arrive there. And that sounds like a wonderful luxury thing. But for me, I was like, oh no, I'm having to completely trust in the person who has booked those tickets, that they are going to get me from A to B in the right time, in the right place, in the right way. I'm having to completely put my trust in somebody else. As people, we like certainty. We like to know what's going to happen. But at the moment, we are living in uncertain times. And our world is living in uncertain times. You know, I can think of many times on the school run recently where people have said things like, we just don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. But we as followers of Jesus have a message of great hope And actually, we live in the same uncertain days as others, but we have the hope of Jesus. And it means that we're called to live a life of hope, trusting not in ourselves and our own planning and our own abilities, but having to put our trust in the one who knows how to get from A to B. Have you noticed that God sometimes has a habit of interrupting our own plans? It's like God is saying, do you really trust in me? The time when the metal is tested of our faith is often through times of uncertainty. Abraham was someone who knew what it meant to live in uncertainty. He was living a relatively comfortable life with his family. When God called Abraham, said, I want you to get up and go along with your wife, Sarai, and I want you to move to a new land. And what Abraham did was he took his nephew Lot with him. And the problem was he wasn't really supposed to take Lot with him. And Lot got in all kinds of trouble and Abraham has to go and rescue him. But Abraham is living in uncertain times. And Abraham also lived in a time when to not have children was something that was really seen as being second rate. I'm glad we don't live in those days now. But Abraham lived in those days. And Abraham and his wife Sarai were unable to have children. They were elderly. They were past the age of being able to have children. And God makes a promise to Abraham. It's like your future is uncertain. There's no heir for you. The only person that would have inherited Abraham and Sarah's inheritance would have been kind of the nephew of a servant. And Abraham cries this out to God. And God says, no, that's uncertainty. But let me give you some certain and sure hope. You will have a son. In fact, your descendants will be more than the stars in the sky. And Abraham and Sarah are blessed with a child. Genesis 21 tells us the birth of Isaac. Isaac means he laughs. It's almost like this, wow, this is a joke in some way. But God was faithful to his promise. And the start of Genesis 22, the very next chapter, tells us this. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. You know, this wasn't a test like a school test for grading to see whether Abraham would get an A star or whether he'd get an F in his level of faith. It wasn't a test to catch him out. God wasn't setting some kind of trap to make him look silly. And it also wasn't a test to determine how much love God would have in return for Abraham. It was a test because life can be testing. There's an example here for us in what it means to have faith in uncertainty. You know, in life, there will be uncertain times. We will go through challenging moments. There will be moments that feel like a test. But when we go through those moments, God is not testing you in like a grade for school. God isn't testing us to catch us out. God isn't testing us to determine his love for us. We will go through testing times because we live in a broken and falling world. But the metal of our faith is tested if we're willing to continue to trust in God, no matter the uncertainty. And in uncertain times, there's a couple of things that we can find ourselves doing. The first thing is we can find ourselves looking down, looking at ourselves, looking at the situation around us. And when we look down, we maybe find ourselves in a place of self-pity. The other thing we can do is we can look up. We can look up to God and say, God, we need your help. We need your strength. But then really we're still looking down. We don't put our trust in him. We look up for strength, but we never move. Well, the third thing we can do is we can look around us at where God has placed us, at the provision God has given us, and we can simply trust him each step, every day through the way. So let's look at these three things. Can we find hope in uncertainty by looking down? In hard times, it can be really easy for us to look down, to look at our own circumstances, to look at our own issues, to feel pity for ourselves or to look for pity for others. We can join in with cynical conversations because it makes us feel better that, hey, we're all in it together. But do we really find hope from looking down, or do we need to look elsewhere? At the start of the book of Job, Job is a man who has been blessed by God. We're told he is a righteous man. And Job has a load of livestock, a load of cattle, a load of sheep. He's got sons and he's got daughters. And whenever his sons and daughters would have a big wild party, he would make sacrifices to pray for forgiveness for them. And just in a moment, in the blink of an eye, literally three messengers come one after another. The first one is still talking and the second one comes, then the third one comes. And all of the stuff that Job has in life is just decimated in a moment. And Job sits on the ground, and in Job 1 verse 21, he says this: "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Wow. Isn't that a challenge to say, do you know, in the hardest moments of life, I don't know what the future is going to look like, because everything I knew has just been taken from me. But I trust in the one who gave and the one who can take away. Now, we know that Job does take a bit of time to kind of look at himself, and he does feel sorry for himself. And we know that from the rest of the book of Job. But Job and God have an incredible interaction. God knows the end from the beginning. But actually, our world right now causes us really to look at ourselves, doesn't it? You know, we're called to be individuals. Our world seems to point out that, you know, the individual is better than anything else. Do things your way, make your own way. You know, even the devices we use are called iPhone and iPad. It's all about me. It's all about I. And actually, that's one of the things that the enemy wants to do. In uncertainty, the enemy wants us to look down at ourselves rather than looking up to God and around at where God has placed us. We see this when Jesus is tempted at the beginning of his ministry in the wilderness. I know we looked at this a couple of weeks back in the summer, but in Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus is in the wilderness, he's fasting for 40 days, and Satan tempts him on three occasions. And the way that Satan does this is he gets Jesus to look down. He tries to get Jesus to look down. He does it in three ways. The first thing is food. He says, you know, you're fasting, you know, you must be hungry. These stones here, you know, if you are the Son of God, you can turn them into bread. The first thing the enemy does is he tries to get Jesus to look at his own needs, his personal needs, his physical needs. And that's one of the things that the enemy will try and get us to do in uncertainty, is to focus on ourselves. What are my needs? What is it that I need? How can I look after myself? This is why we saw panic buying happen a few months ago, because people were looking to their self and their own needs. Look after me. See, one of the things the enemy will want us to do in uncertainty is look to ourselves and our own needs. Call that food. The second thing that the enemy tries to do for Jesus is to question his faith. And the enemy will want us to question our faith in times of uncertainty. He will call us to try and question God's goodness. You know, Satan to Jesus in the wilderness, he says, you know, if you're the Son of God, you know, throw yourself down from here and the angels will, surely they'll catch you and you'll be okay. You know, the enemy will cause us to question our faith in uncertainty, to ask the why and the where questions. Why has God allowed this to happen? Where is God in this? If God was good, why would these things happen? And, you know, we can legitimately question those things sometimes, but we must always come back to this, that God is faithful, that God promises to never leave us or forsake us. In fact, you know, Jesus said he came to give us life and life in all the fullness. But Jesus also said, you know, in this world, you will have troubles. You know, God promises in the Bible so many times that he is with us. So the enemy in uncertainty will cause us to look, question food, ourselves, to look for our own needs, our faith, to question where God is in certain moments. And the third thing, to question the future. You know, the third thing that the enemy does for Jesus is he takes him up onto a high place and says, look at all these kingdoms, all these, they can be yours. Hey, they belong to Jesus anyway. He was there at the beginning of time. What he wants to do is distract Jesus. You know, Jesus had a mission to do. And what the enemy was trying to do is say, hey, look at this, all these things, you know, compare that with this. You know, look at all these things that you could have. You see, what he was trying to do was distract Jesus. In uncertainty, the enemy will want us to be distracted from what God is calling us to do. He'll want us to look at the small minutiae of the situations that we're in rather than looking at the bigger picture of what God has for us. He'll want us to make comparisons with others. He'll want us to say, well, other people are doing that. Why aren't you doing that? You know, Jesus responds to each of these things with scripture because he knew God, his Father, and he knew the mission that God had for him. And he knew the character of his Father. You know, we will face questions and challenges and distractions, but we must look to God. How does Jesus end this interaction with Satan in Matthew 4? Verse 10, Jesus says this, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." You know, when we look down either to our own needs, our self-needs, or when we come and we end up questioning God's goodness in something, or when we compare, or when we are distracted, our eyes aren't on God, they're on ourselves. And it's in those moments that we can begin to lose hope. Instead, we're called to continue on the path that God has for us, even when the future is uncertain. I love verse 3 that says this: early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. You know, I know in my own life, and maybe it's the same for you, there's been moments when we've heard God say something, we've convinced God has said something to us, but we unsure about it. We kind of question it. We sit on it for a little while. We talk to other people about it. And there is great wisdom in that. You know, sometimes we spiritualize it. We say, I'm laying down a fleece. You know, and really what we're doing is we're just being uncertain. It's that our faith isn't strong enough to step out in faith. Why did Abraham go straight away? Because Abraham knew the voice of God. And he knew the character of God. You see, God had come through so many times for Abraham that when God spoke, Abraham simply moved, even though he didn't know what the outcome may be. You know, we tend to look down. We tend to want every step for the journey. We don't want to step out in faith until we know what the whole journey is going to look like. But actually, it's in uncertainty that our faith grows. When we simply step out and say, God, I don't know what the next step is going to look like, but you've told me to take the step. The problem is that we live in a society that is results driven. It's compare the market. You know, and that can affect our Christian lives too. It can affect us as individuals, as Christians. It can affect the church when we begin to, instead of stepping out in what God has called us to do, we first try and compare with what everybody else is doing. Two things happen then. Firstly, we become crippled with fear of failure, fear of getting it wrong, fear that we're going to look daft in some way. And so because it's uncertain, because we have this underlying fear of getting it wrong or failure, we don't take the risk. Or the second thing is we become distracted. We just look at what everybody else around is doing and we try and fit in with what they're doing rather than what God is saying. You know, this would have been so easy for Abraham to do. I mean, throughout scripture, God is vocally against child sacrifice. But the other ancient Near Eastern religions in the places around where Abraham lived, and we see this through the Old Testament, they did practice child sacrifice. One of the reasons God was so against it, he was saying, no, this is a different way to live. You know, Abraham could have looked at the other ancient Near Eastern religions around him and said, you know, well, they just do it here and now. Why do I have to walk my mountain? We could just get this, you know, over and done with now. But no, he followed God on the journey. And it was only when he went on the journey that he then heard the voice of God and he then saw the provision of God. In uncertain times, you know, the way to avoid distraction and comparison or being crippled by fear is to remember the words of Jesus in John 15, verse 4, who says, remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. In uncertain times, we find hope by simply remaining in Christ, to focus our attention on our relationship with God, that even though things may be tough, even though we don't know what the future may be, to put all of our trust and hope in God. And sometimes that simply means remaining in his presence, being rooted in his word, being rooted in prayer, taking each step as it comes, knowing that God is with us, not focusing on the next big thing, not focusing on what the people around us are doing, you know, not even getting so tied to the vision, but remembering that we are called to remain and abide in Christ. So why did Abraham go early the next morning? Because in uncertainty, he was certain of his relationship with his God and his God with him. Abraham recognized the voice of God and followed the command of God. Do you recognize the voice of God speaking to you right now? You know, God speaks to us differently in different seasons of life. How is God speaking to you at the moment? Where do you feel his presence most? Where are the moments when you remain in him? Where whenever life is thrown at you, you have a moment where you come back to God, knowing that you're a child of God and that he is your father. Don't look down. Second thing is look up. Look up. And when we look up, this is for strength. Psalm 121 begins like this. I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalm writer is saying this. Where does my help come from? I look up. The mountains are the greatest thing, the biggest thing is around. But you know, that's not where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where does your strength come from? Our strength comes from looking to God alone. Psalm 33, verses 16 through to 20 say this. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and shield. You know, our world right now might not be putting their trust in warriors or horses, but our world right now is trying to put its hope in so many things. You know, the rolling news, 24-hour news. Do you remember news flashes? We don't get news flashes anymore because we live in 24/7 news. I can vividly remember news flashes when I was a kid. I remember when the Queen Mother died. I remember 9/11. I remember like TV programs would be stopped, wouldn't they? And the news would come on and there'd be a thing at the bottom, news flash. And it was like a terrifying moment. We never get that anymore. Why? Because we have 24/7 rolling news, because we have a culture and an appetite that wants to know what's happening, that wants to know what is going on in the world around us, that wants to know what the future may be. We read the opinion pieces. Newspapers sell thousands with clickbait headlines because people want to know what might happen. People put their hope in the news. They put their hope in finance. They put their hope in politics. But we are not called to put our hope in those things. We are called to put our hope in Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our hope is not in those things, but our hope is in the Lord. And when we live for God, we choose to speak hope and to have hope. When we choose to see the best in people and the best in situations, to not be drawn into cynicism. When we choose to step out in faith in uncertainty, say, do you know, I don't know what the future is going to look like, but I'm trusting in my God who will bring me through. We will get questions. People will question us. People in the world and people even in the church. You know, when we are in the will of God, we should expect questions. Back in Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8, we read this. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Isaac questions the practicalities. You know, we've got all the stuff we need apart from the thing that's actually going to be the offering. You know, when we step out in faith, when times are uncertain, people will question the practicalities. People will look at the minutia. Maybe we even question these things ourselves. But Abraham's reply is filled with faith. God himself will provide the burnt offering. Reminds me of what Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We love to quote that. We love to have it on our mugs. We love to have it on our fridge magnets. But actually, the reality of what Paul is speaking about there was that Paul knew how to live without financial provision. When he didn't know where any finance was coming from, when he didn't know where food was coming from, Paul knew that he could survive all of those moments through the strength of Christ. How do we know that? Because of the verse beforehand that we never really quote, which says this, Philippians 4 verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, Paul says. You see, Paul had lived in moments where he was well fed and hungry. He'd lived in moments when he had plenty. He'd lived in moments when he had one. He'd lived in moments that were semi-comfortable, but he'd also spent nights out on planks of wood in the sea. You know, he'd lived through the hard moments, the uncertain times, not knowing whether he would make it to certain places. And because of that, because he knew that God had brought him through, that's how he could say that he could do all things through Christ who gives him strength. Abraham was probably the same. You know, Abraham made that bold statement to Isaac, God will provide the offering. But at no moment had God said that he would do that. It was an uncertain outcome. So maybe for Abraham, maybe it was prophetic. Maybe it was hopeful. You know, maybe he just said it to shut Isaac up along the way. Or maybe like with Paul, thousands of years later, maybe Abraham had experienced and tasted the grace of God's faithful provision in the past. And because of that, he knew the character of God the Father who would bring him through even in uncertainty. At no point does Isaac question what Abraham's doing. He never questions his motives. My theory is this, that that Isaac had seen the faith of his father, that he'd heard the stories told of God's provision for his father and his mother, and he was brought up to simply know and trust in God throughout. In times of uncertainty, people may question our faith. People may question what it is we're doing. But don't give any rise for people to question our motives. We simply trust in a God who will bring us through. Look up for the strength of God. Third thing we can do is we can look around. We can see the provision of God all around us. It can be easy for us to look around and think that we're in hopeless situations. But in verse 11, the first thing Abraham does, like we talked about with them, Ezra and Zerubbabel in Ezra chapter 3 a few weeks ago, Abraham builds an altar. Part of the reason of building the altar, yes, was for the sacrifice, but was also to say, God is in this place. In times of uncertainty, do we take time to recognize that God is at work, even when we don't see it and recognize it? Do you recognize that God is at work on the school run, that God is at work in your workplace, that God is at work in difficult family situations, that when you're waiting on medical results, God is at work, that when the future is uncertain, that God is at work? In uncertain times, God is with you. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to look around and recognize where God is at work. Once Abraham recognizes that God is there, there's a few things he does. The first thing is he gets on with the task that God has asked him to do. In verses 9 and 10, he begins to bind Isaac up. You know, sometimes we can be easily distracted from what God has asked us to do by the other voices around us. Maybe that's why in verse 5, Abraham asks his servants to stay behind. It's good to have people with us for the journey, but don't lose focus of what God has asked you to do. He gets on with the task that God has asked him to do. Second thing, when he's recognized that God is in this place, is this. At verse 10, he listens for the voice of God. In uncertain times, we must make sure that our ears are tuned into the voice of God all the time. You know, how many of us, we hear God say something, we feel God is saying something to us, and we step out in faith, and then we shut our ears and we don't listen to him again. You know, how many people have fallen into the trap of saying, well, you know, if God's given a vision, the vision never changes. Rubbish. God can do what he wants to do. You know, imagine Abraham had done that. Imagine Abraham had said, well, God, you told me to sacrifice Isaac. And then when God said, you know, look up, there's provision, there's a ram caught in the fence here. Imagine Abraham going, no, you told me this, and so I'm not changing. No. We must listen to the voice of God along the journey. We must not limit God to assuming that he's told us everything in one go. Sometimes God tells us just what we need for the next step. Abraham got up early the next morning. He took that step. And it was as he was up on the mountain that he hears God speak and he sees God's provision. That's the third thing he does. Verse 13, he looks up and he looks around. In challenging situations, we tend to put our head down, to look down inwardly at the situation, or to look at things with pity, or to look to others for sympathy. But it's only when we look up and we look around that we see the provision of God. When life is uncertain, maybe one of the things that we could begin to do is to simply stop and to take time to look at what God is doing. You know, I encourage you to even begin to write down each day, where have you seen the provision of God? When you're uncertain about the future, when you're waiting on something that hasn't yet come through, to simply write down, what is God doing? Where have you seen God's faithful provision, even in the small things? Who has God placed in front of you? Where has God placed you that day? What are the things that have brought you the life of God in that day? Was Abraham certain that God would provide a lamb? I'm not sure. But he was certain of this, that God had always provided for him in the past, and that God would bring him through this time. We're living in uncertain days, but Abraham's story of faith shows us that in life or in death, our hope and our strength and our provision is in God. Sometimes God doesn't tell us the whole journey. He simply tells us what we need for the first steps, and we have to trust him for the rest of the way. We need to keep our ears open and our eyes open to what God is doing. And in uncertain times, we can be certain of our eternal future, because a few thousand years after Abraham's son walked up Mount Moriah, God's son Jesus walked up that same mountain, then called Golgotha. A few thousand years after Isaac carried the wood himself, God's son Jesus walked up that same mountain and carried a wooden cross. When we were overwhelmed by sin and shame and guilt, God provided a way through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. that the kingdom would come in our own lives, that we'll be people that would bring the kingdom life to others around us, and we would have the hope and the certainty of eternity with Jesus Christ. We live in uncertain days, but we follow Jesus, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who carried his own cross up that very mountain means that when life is uncertain, we can be certain of this, that Jesus has made a way, that he will never let us down, that he will never fail us. We will go through difficult times. We will go through testing moments. There will be challenges, but we can be people who live with great hope because we know the one who gives hope. And his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this incredible story of Abraham and this forefather of incredible faith, who even when you asked him to give up the thing that was most near and dear to him, he was willing to trust in you because he knew that you had always brought him through in the past, and he knew that you would always bring him through again. Father, cause us to not be a people who look down. Help us to not be tempted by distraction of ourselves or our situation. But help us to be a people who both look up to you for strength and help us to be a people that look around and see your provision. Thank you, Lord, that when we take a moment to stop and look around, when we think of our daily lives, we thank you for the everyday miracles and mercy that we see, even simply the breath in our lungs, that we have a house to live in, that we have food to eat and water to drink. Father, thank you that you have been faithful in the past, and thank you that you remain faithful forever. Father, keep us close to you. Thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to die and to rise for us, that we can be bought back, that we have forgiveness, that we have the promise and the hope of eternal life. And Lord, when the world around us is uncertain, when people are worried, when people are unsure, when the things that people have put their hope in seems to fall away, help us to be a people that both demonstrate and declare what it means to be a people of hope, because we know the God of the universe. Thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. Father, I pray today for those who are in uncertain times, for those who it's almost overwhelming, the uncertainty of job security, the uncertainty of health and medical test results that they may be waiting on, for those who are uncertain whether they will have the money they need to get through this month. Father, for those who are uncertain if they even have the strength to keep going right now, Lord, I pray for your grace and your mercy to increase in their lives. Pray that you'd remind them of the times when you've been faithful in the past, and that you would show them where you're being faithful right now. That they would have strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Lord, come and fill us. Come and fill our uncertainty with faith and hope once more. Let faith rise in our lives, in our homes, in our families this day. Carry us, Lord, by your strength. In the name of Jesus. Amen.